A weekend plane crash near Haines leaves 2 people dead and 1 injured. And the Skagway Assembly will consider 5 letters of interest for a vacant seat. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more, up next. 2 people died in a plane crash about 9 miles southwest of Haines near Glacier Point late Saturday morning. 1 person was critically injured. Alaska State Troopers released the names of both of the deceased and the injured passenger. The pilot, 29-year-old David Kanat of Juneau, was declared dead at the scene. 29-year-old Stanley Su Kwok Wen of California also died at the crash site. 31-year-old Chan Valentine of Juneau survived and was transported to Bartlett Regional Hospital. Troopers say there were witnesses to the crash. The witnesses observed the twin-engine aircraft, quote, make a hard right turn to the east before stalling and colliding with the ground. Clint Johnson is the chief of the National Transportation Safety Board's Alaska office. He says the plane went down in tidal flats near Glacier Point. As of Saturday, the cause of the crash was unknown. An NTSB investigator planned to visit the site Sunday morning. The NTSB also reported there was a plane crash 30 miles southeast of Fairbanks Saturday. At a meeting Wednesday, the Skagway Assembly will consider 5 letters of interest for a vacant Assembly seat. The position opened at the beginning of May when the Assembly accepted Angela Greaser's resignation. 5 residents have expressed interest in the position. They are Candace Cahill, Monica Carlson, Nathan Helmer, Carl Klooper, and Dominic Rodier. 2 of the interested residents are particularly young. Helmer, a telecom technician, is 21 years old. Rodier is 19 years old. He runs a delivery business with his mother. Carlson is operating manager at Skagway Streetcar Company and previously served as a city council member. Klooper is a longtime resident and owner of the historic Skagway Inn. Cahill is a former EMT who participates in several community organizations. In her letter of interest, Cahill says she's been a Skagway resident since 1998. The deadline to submit letters of interest was extended from May 15th to May 30th, but no additional residents applied. The Assembly is set to make an official appointment at their regular meeting Thursday. The resident chosen to fill the seat will serve until the October election. An Assembly of the Whole committee will discuss the letters of interest Wednesday at 7 p.m. in Assembly chambers. Thousands of people went north to seek gold in the late 1800s, flooding into Skagway and Dyea. The Klondike Gold Rush National Historical Park in Skagway, the most visited national park in Alaska, tells many of their stories. This year, the park is putting some extra effort into sharing the lives of one particular group of people, the women of the Klondike Gold Rush.
All right, good morning, everyone!
The streets of Skagway are busy with visitors, in from a couple cruise ships docked in town. And Kaylin Howard is leading a tour for the Klondike Park.
Normally, we talk about these male stampeders. And that's okay, too, because the men greatly outnumbered the women during the time of the gold rush. But there were, in fact, women who came up here to participate in all walks of this gold rush.
That's what this tour is focused on. Women.
This was a time when women, they were really breaking the mold, and they were taking their destinies into their own hands. Their own families might look at them askance because they dared to do what others only dreamed about.
Howard says women came north for a lot of different reasons. They were business owners, cooks, prostitutes.
And some of them, they were gold seekers themselves.
She says Tlingit men and women became packers to help carry goods on the trails further north.
I can guarantee that without the Tlingit people being so willing to be helpful and be hired on as packers, that thousands of less people would have been successful in their Klondike venture.
The tour also tells the story of the many women who came to work as prostitutes.
Women did come up here by choice to do this, yes, but not all women. Some women were forced into it, coerced into it, and sold into it. Now, this is a reality that we talk about because not only did it happen during the time of the gold rush, but it's something that goes on around us worldwide today.
Ben Hayes is chief of interpretation at the park. He says making connections between history and present day is an important part of the tour. For instance, a lack of freedom that was standard for women at the time of the gold rush.
Is that something that's still relevant today? Absolutely. We talked about, or in the tour, prostitution. That is certainly going on today. And it was huge during the gold rush. You know, there were 100 to 250 women in the sex industry in Skagway during the gold rush. And, you know, their stories are just as important as the stampeders that came here searching for fortune.
Hayes points to the disparity in the numbers of men and women who were in the area in that time.
This is a story largely of men. There were tens of thousands of men who came here during the gold rush, and that is a dominant component of the narrative of what happened here. And women can be measured in the hundreds that came here during the gold rush.
He says the park is making an effort to tell new stories of that time.
Our objective is to find more meaningful ways for visitors to connect with the resources here. And by finding new or diverse stories beyond the focus on the stampeders themselves helps provide those opportunities to people.
Hayes says telling women's stories is not new for the park.
We've been telling women's stories for many years, but this year we are challenging our team to research and share more stories and even promise a woman of Skagway walking tour every day at 10 o'clock. And so that's a new. Sharing women's stories is not new, but offering that as an option is something that we're trying today to help kind of share a more diverse array of stories and experiences for our visitors.
The tour shares the stories of many women. They include Molly Walsh, who now has a Skagway park named after her, and Martha Louise Munger Black, who left her husband when he got cold feet about the journey north and later gave birth to a son alone in a cabin in Dawson City. These women made their own way in a time dominated by male stampeders. Petersburg's former mayor Mark Jensen resigned this month following a disagreement over a proposed reorganization of department heads at the borough assembly's last meeting. Jensen says he doesn't have the energy to continue on as mayor, with that proposal still a possibility. The 61-year-old welder and commercial fisherman has been the borough's only mayor since its formation in 2013. He also served on the council for the city of Petersburg prior to that. Jensen resigned a little less than 1 year into his 3-year term. He ran unopposed in last October's election, but at the time said it was not an easy decision to seek re-election. The issue at the borough assembly's last meeting was whether to go forward with a proposed reorganization of department heads. With the June 30th retirement of Joe Nelson, Petersburg's power and light superintendent, borough manager Steve Giesbrecht sought to have the borough's public works director take over that responsibility. Jensen says he didn't want to get into a disagreement over that proposal.
I just didn't agree with that, the way it was brought forward to us. It's kind of obvious the manager and I had different opinions on that. But I just wanted to focus more on my own stuff, fishing and welding and just my own life. And I didn't want to get into any kind of a argument about that. And I could see it might still be taking place.
Borough manager Giesbrecht said Petersburg could not afford to hire another electrical engineer to fill Nelson's job. And he said the reorganization would save the borough $108,000. At the assembly's May 15th meeting, it appeared the reorganization was not happening in the face of opposition from the assembly and power and light department employees. The assembly did not take a vote on the issue. Jensen resigned on the 18th. Vice Mayor Cindy Lagadakis takes over as mayor until the October election. For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.